I'll be satisfied when our souls are resting in the presence of the Lord. We have every reason to be satisfied. We will have achieved our lifelong aspiration. We will have been enabled to claim the prize of eternal life, and that's that for which each of us is striving each and every day. It is so good to be back this evening and to see each of you here this evening as we continue and conclude this day of worship on this Lord's Day. We invite your attention to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago from Job. Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. It seems in reality that Job had been picked out to be picked off. If we look back at verse number 6 and following, now that was the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And this brings us to verse number 13. That was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was called upon to absorb wave after wave of disastrous news, lost much of his livestock, lost his children. Job certainly was staggered by the force of the blows that were pummeled against him. But Job stood the test. As I indicated earlier, Job had, in a very real sense, been picked out to be picked on. God called Job to Satan's attention. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him. None like him in the earth. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God. He avoids and turns away from evil. You can't find a better man than Job. And yet Job was not insulated from the various vicissitudes and storms of life. Job was not able to escape many of the problems and trials and tribulations that come upon humankind. Job's life is not altogether different from our lives. We might not be picked out to be picked on in the way that Job was, but all the sons of Adam are heir to troubles, trials, tribulations, and temptations, disasters, sickness, and eventually death. That's our common lot in life. We have to deal with those things. We have to deal with unexpected occurrences. We have to deal with the unpredictable turns that life takes in the lives of each of us, and we see that illustrated in our own lives all of the time. And the question is, how do we manage all of these different things that come against us in life? If you look at the word life, you will see the spelling L-I-F-E, life. These letters, L-I-F-E, provide for me meaningful keys for properly managing especially the unpredictable occurrences that take place in our lives. And I'm going to share with you what each of these letters represent, L, the I, the F, and the E. But before we address each of these particular letters and what each letter will be allowed to stand for, I'd like for you to consider the two letters in the middle. The two letters in the middle of of life, which is characteristic of that which is liable to or can happen to each of us and will in some form or fashion happen to each of us as we live our lives. And I want you to think of the unpredictable qualities of life. I want you to think of the chance happenings in life. I want you to think of potential happenings in life. I want you to think of possible occurrences in life. And this is represented by those two words in the middle. If I get sick, what am I going to do? If I contract a terminal illness, how am I going to handle it? If I suffer a serious financial loss, how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to manage it? If I suffer a layoff, or if I suffer the loss of my job, how am I going to manage it? If I lose my house, how am I going to manage that? If I lose a close family member, brother or sister, how am I going to handle that? That is all a part of what I call the ifs in life. If signifies uncertainty as well as possibility. A lot of times we don't know, most of the time, we don't know what's going to happen down the road. We don't know what things are going to develop. We don't know what trouble we're going to find ourselves facing. We don't know exactly what circumstances we will find ourselves in. We don't know whether we'll live till the year is over. We don't know what might happen, but if such and such happens, how will you manage those particular things? How do we manage the ifs of life? That is, the things that can happen, the things that might happen, or the things that will happen. And the reason we have if, and we're emphasizing the if in the very center of the word life, is that these things, possible things, these possible occurrences, they are a part of life, and we have to accept their reality. They are a central part of life, the ifs of life. The question is, how do you manage the ifs, the uncertainties, the negatives that eventually come to pass in our lives? I want you to think in terms of managing the ifs of life. Think in terms of choice. The insurance industry has developed programs that will help you effectively manage the ifs in life. You can buy homeowners insurance. So if a storm comes and destroys your house like it destroyed the house of Job's eldest son, then you have coverage so that you can rebuild your house. If a fire destroys your house, you have insurance, then you can rebuild your house. If you become the victim of some special illness or sickness and need to be hospitalized and need treatment, medical treatment, if that happens, then if you have life insurance, then you can more effectively manage that unpredictable if quality of life. And that's a wonderful thing, to have health insurance, to have house insurance, and to also have automobile insurance. If somebody runs into you or you run into somebody. If you have auto insurance, you can repair or replace your vehicle. And if somebody runs into you and they are not insured, and that can happen if it happens, your uninsured motorist coverage of your insurance policy will take care of that. They will repair or replace your car because you foresaw this contingency. You foresaw the possibility of this particular thing happening. Now, when it comes to our lives, our physical lives and our spiritual lives, there is what we call life insurance. And the life insurance is not designed for the person on whose life it is taken out. It is designed for his survivors. And of course, it can take care of his obligations that he has left behind. But if you have life insurance, when, and we could say if you die, but actually it's really saying when you die, because you're going to die eventually. Each of us is. And your survivors, the beneficiary of your life insurance policy, will receive that which has been designated in the policy. But now, there's also a life insurance policy of an eternal nature, and you can take out that policy as well. So when you die physically, you will be fit spiritually for heaven, and we will be in the presence of the Lord, about which we have been singing in one of those songs. But when we think about life and think about its uncertainties and think about all of the things that can happen to us, and some of them will happen to us, death will definitely happen to us, we ask ourselves the question, how can we manage the ifs in life? I want to suggest to you basically four things that we need in order to effectively manage the ifs in life. L-I-F-E. If you're going to be able to manage the ifs in life, one thing I think is indispensable, one thing you must possess if you are to manage in the most effective way the various ifs in life. And that first one is L. What does that L stand for? It stands for love. You need love. You need to love yourself. You need to love your neighbor. But preeminently, you need to love your God. So you need a good relationship with yourself, a good relationship with your neighbors, and a good relationship with your God if you are to effectively manage the ifs in life. And I want you to look at one particular passage in this regard, and that's Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. A lawyer asked Jesus, trying to trip him, he asked a question tempting him, saying, "Master, what which is the great commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, we're starting with verse number 35. Jesus in verse 37 said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment," loving God with the totality of your being. This is the first and great commandment, verse 38. And he says, "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Now, Brother Jones, I thought you said you need to love yourself, you need to love your neighbors, and you need to love your God. I did, and this is exactly what this passage teaches. See, when the Lord said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He is saying in order to love yourself, you have to prerequisitely love, or when he says love your neighbor as yourself, that means you have to prerequisitely love yourself. If you don't properly love yourself, you can't effectively and appropriately love others, because the standard by which you love others is how you love yourself. You are to use loving yourself as the standard, and you love others as you love yourself. You know, some people feel like, well, you don't supposed to love yourself, you're supposed to love others. There is wholesome, there is appropriate, there is healthy self-love. And remember, love always looks out for the best good, operates in the best interest of the object of that love. So when you love yourself, you look out for the best good of yourself. It's not selfishness. It's not sinful to love yourself appropriately, because that is the standard by which you are to love others. So you love yourself and you love others on a horizontal plane, and you love your God on a vertical plane. And if you are to properly live life in a meaningful way and manage to manage your ifs in life, you have to demonstrate these dimensions of love. So that L stands for love. The I, L-I. What does the I stand for? The I stands for, I want to say two things. One is integrity. That's honesty. That's wholeness. That's a sense of treating others justly, treating God fairly, being open and honest, having an authentic relationship with God. That gives reference to integrity. Notice a question that Mrs. Job asked Job over here in Job chapter 2, verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? What she's saying is, under these dire circumstances, how can you retain your sense of wholeness? How can you retain your sense of honesty? How can you retain your integrity? She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Verse number 9. She said, curse God and die. What has happened to us should not have happened to anybody. What has happened to us is unconscionable. What has happened to us can't be accepted. What has happened to us can't be properly managed. So curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He maintained his integrity. And in order for us to manage the ifs in life, the contingencies in life, no matter what they might be, we have to maintain our integrity. But integrity also gives reference to invocation. That is, gives reference to prayer. We need to always pray. Luke chapter 16, 18 and verse 1, Jesus told a parable to this end, or with this intent, that men ought to always pray and not faint. A reference in our lesson this morning was also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. We need to use invocation in order to help us manage the ifs in life. But not only do we need prayer, do we need invocation in order to help us manage the ifs in life, but if it is indispensable that we maintain a strong faith in order to manage the ifs in life. And we can just keep in mind Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and we're all familiar with it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them which seek him. We have to have faith if we are to properly and appropriately and positively manage the ifs in life. And then finally, in order to manage the ifs in life, we need endurance. We need to be able to endure as we navigate the dangerous pathways of life. We have to have the stick-to-itiveness. We have to have that spirit of hanging in there. We have to have that spirit of being able to stick with it to the very end. And as we think about faith and as we think about endurance, I want us to look at, as we get ready to close, or as we close, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We often quote it, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Job had all of these qualities. When we look, as we close out, at the E again, one of the things that helps us manage the ifs in life is encouragement. We need each other. We need encouragement during times of trouble, times of trials, times of difficulties, times of disappointments. We need to encourage each other. Job's three friends that came to him to encourage him, they were poor encouragers. When you look at the conversations that took place between them, but at least their intent was to come and to be there for Job and to encourage Job. Job possessed love. Job possessed integrity. Job had a great relationship with his God, and he prayed to God on a regular basis. Job, according to verse number 20, after absorbing the series of waves of disaster that came to him in one day, verse 20 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He manifests a spirit of integrity and a spirit of invocation. He demonstrated his faith. He demonstrated his endurance. And he is known for his great patience. So regardless of the choices, we make good choices, but there are some chance happenings that are beyond our control. There are circumstances that we find ourselves in. There are changes that we can make in our lives by the choices that we make. But all of this is wrapped up in life. All of these things have to do with the ifs that are in the midst of life. I trust that you will utilize these keys in managing the ifs in life. If you're here and you're not a child of God and want to become one, we'd encourage you to do that this evening through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he died for your sins and mine according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he arose again triumphantly.